Thank you. I'm really pleased to have the chance to meet with you and to discuss about European policy vis-a-vis your country and your region. And as you said, we are called Ministry of Foreign and European Affairs. This is the change that was introduced only recently in October last year. We changed the law, and I insisted on changing the name of our ministry from the Foreign Ministry to the Ministry of Foreign and European Affairs, because for us, European affairs are not the foreign affairs. We are part of the European Union. It's a totally separate policy, which is something between the foreign affairs and domestic affairs. And therefore, I want to make sure and make the clear distinction between the foreign affairs and European policy. European agenda, European Union, has been very much, of course, in the center of our attention throughout my diplomatic career, first trying to get my country closer to the European Union, then joining the European Union, then having the chance and the honor to represent the European Union in different positions, and now continuing to promote the European agenda. And I want to share some of my thoughts with you. You are professional, so I'm looking forward to our open discussion and exchange of views. I'm visiting Georgia 3 years after my first visit to your country in my first capacity of the Slovak Foreign Minister. This year, Slovakia commemorates 20 years since its creation after a peaceful split of Czechoslovakia. And we also commemorate 20 years of the establishment of diplomatic relations between Slovakia and Georgia. And this is also a good moment to look back at our achievements and also to speak about the challenges we are facing together. Let me say a few words about the European Union as I see it. We spend a lot of time discussing the problems EU is facing, the crisis, Eurozone, number of challenges we are going through, and sometimes we tend to forget to see that European Union continues to be the most successful model of integration. There is no other integration model in the world that has been more successful than European Union. First, politically, because it's a peace project, and this has also been recognized by granting the Nobel Peace Prize to the European Union, rightly so. Second, economically, European Union is still the biggest economy in the world in terms of GDP. It's the biggest common market in the world. It's the biggest investor in most parts of the world, and it's also by far the biggest provider of development and humanitarian assistance in the world. And European Union guarantees the highest standards of protection of human rights, and all sets of human rights, including economic and social rights. So there is no other integration that can compare to the European Union in this regard. What's specific about European Union is that EU does not impose its model. We are not pursuing any hidden geopolitical agendas. We are not trying to change regimes or to change the geopolitical configuration. We do not tell countries what priorities to follow, but we support those who have freely decided to try to follow our models, and we assist them. So this is what is called European soft power. Soft power means that we are leading by example, that others want to be like us. Slovakia wanted to be like the EU 15, Georgia wants to be like EU 27 and to join the same club that respects the same set of values. And this is very, very important, that the European Union is able to generate the power to inspire. That means our integration model by itself is attractive to others so that they want to join it or to build a similar model. And also we have the power to transform, or we generate the power to transform. So we don't change our partners. We assist them to change themselves and to transform themselves. When you look at my country, when you look at the region of Central Europe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and today, you see how much we have changed and transformed ourselves. And it was under no pressure. It was because we wanted and we were assisted by the European Union. What's important for us is not to forget, and we are trying to remind to our friends and partners, that even in times of crisis, there is life outside of the European Union. There are countries who are looking at the European Union as a role model. There are countries who are willing or hoping to get closer eventually to join the European Union. And we have our responsibility towards those countries, and we must not resign on this global role European Union has traditionally played. So, of course, there are two regions of particular importance for the European Union. The first one is the region of Western Balkans. These are the countries that were given the membership perspective. And the second region is the region where you are part of, the Eastern Partnership. Countries who have been offered political association, economic integration, visa liberalization. And this is, we want to make sure that these offers are visible and tangible and credible. We are trying to help you and the other Eastern partners to modernize your societies in every aspect of this world. And what's important to say is that Eastern Partnership is a long-term project and it's an open-ended project. I hear many complaints about Eastern Partnership not granting the membership perspective. And my answer to these complaints is that we shall be pleased that it's not excluding the membership perspective. So as I said, it's an open-ended project. That means that the end stage will be what you make out of it. And it's you don't need to have membership perspective to demonstrate your commitment to European values, to European standards. You don't need membership perspective to show that you are measuring your political life, your economic life, the decisions you make, the work of your parliament by your European ambitions. And it's the result you achieve that will decide in the end whether the Eastern Partnership is a road towards the full membership or not. So everything is in your hands, and I'm happy to see your country, Georgia, as being one of the most successful countries in the project and being among the front runners of the Eastern Partnership project. Because let's face it, let's be honest, your success is our success. We've created, we've invented this program. We want Eastern Partnership to be a success. And for this program to be a success, we need the successful countries. So therefore, we honestly support and wish you to be successful, because it shows that Eastern Partnership is really a good program. A couple of figures about the preliminary assessment of the function of the Eastern Partnership that has been launched 4 years ago. In the economic sphere, the share of the Eastern Partnership in the EU27's total external trade has more than doubled in these 4 years. And for your countries, or for your country and for countries of the region, of course, EU is by far the main trade partner. For Georgia, it's 26% of your overall trade. For Armenia, 32. For Azerbaijan, 42 even. As we are getting closer to the Vilnius summit of Eastern Partnership, we still have a chance to sign the association agreement and DCFTA with Ukraine, and we have a chance to initial this agreement with Georgia. And we will, Moldova and maybe Armenia. But this would be the maximum success. We will see how far we get. But these are the real and concrete results. There has been a significant progress made on the visa-free regimes, again, with Georgia, with Moldova, and also with Ukraine. So you know very well that with your country, we've already entered into force with the visa facilitation and readmission agreement. And in February this year, we started delivering on the visa liberalization action plan. So it sounds boring and technical, but the end stage of this program is a visa-free travel for your citizens, and that's really important. Since the launch of the Eastern Partnership, we have also introduced the sector-wide cooperation, and by now it has brought very concrete results in areas such as border management, transport, environment, energy, social protection. One of the major assets of the Eastern Partnership has been the multilateral dimension. It's not functioning to its full potential, because what we want to see is an improvement of cooperation among the Eastern partners themselves. Exchange of experience, exchange of knowledge, because of course, the most logically, your most natural partners are those who are living in the same environment in the same region. So it's difficult to claim to be ready and mature for Europe-wide integration if there are difficulties in your communication with your immediate neighbors. And therefore, what we want to see is a good regional cooperation. And of course, European Union, and we must not forget, has provided very substantial funding for the program for two years, 2011-2013, has been 1.9 billion euros. So this is really substantial. We have results to be proud of, but of course, much more remains to be done. And we must not be complacent, because this is certainly not the right time for that. So if I try to identify the areas where we have no reason to be too happy with the progress achieved, I would say, first, the progress has been uneven. So we have very successful and committed countries, but we also have countries like Belarus, to a certain extent Azerbaijan, where there is very little progress. Second, we see fading enthusiasm about the Eastern Partnership in a number of countries. I know that you want to see the progress, you want to see promotions in order to stay enthusiastic. And as I said in my meeting with the foreign minister, it's really important for us to be creative enough to come up with an agenda after the Vilnius summit, agenda that will be easy to understand by our citizens, in your countries, in our countries. Third challenge or problem is that a number of Eastern Partnership countries are doing well in meeting technical criteria, but not necessarily understanding that it's about democratic values, about democratic principles, principles of good governance that needs to be implemented and demonstrated. So it's not only about facts and figures, but it's about how you think, how you behave. So, and this is very important, must not be underestimated, that for European Union, your commitment to the European values and principles is the cornerstone of the European neighborhood policy and of the Eastern Partnership. And we have seen this in the southern neighborhood, that if you delay reforms, if you suppress the general feeling or general need for democratization, it will just explode. And therefore, democratization has no alternative. In November this year, as we all know, we will have the Vilnius Eastern Partnership Summit. What can we expect? The Warsaw Summit 2 years ago was a success. There was a acknowledgement of European aspirations of a number of Eastern Partnership countries, and we want, of course, to follow this model and this example. We want to reconfirm once again that association agreement and DCFTA are one. So you can the first part is about the values, the second part is about trade, and one cannot go without the other. We have to reconfirm our rules, which is the conditionality, and more for more. So more commitments brings more assistance from our side. We are not naive, and we, of course, know, and we are well aware that there are other games in town, particularly the customs union and the Eurasian Union, which is promoted by Russia. Here I want to stress that Eastern Partnership is not aimed against anybody. This is not a program against someone. This is a program for someone. We believe that in the end of the day, the EU interest and Russia's interest should be the same, which is the stable and prosperous common neighborhood. We have problems to explain this easy, simple truth to our Russian friends, but believe me that the Eastern Partnership is not a trick and is not an anti-Russian creation, rather to the contrary. European Union has no hidden agenda, as I said, and what we want is the political stability, economic and social prosperity. The specific situation with your region is, of course, that the political and transformational processes are complicated because of the so-called frozen conflicts. Here in Georgia and also Nagorno-Karabakh, European Union respects the existing formats, particularly the Minsk group, which is dealing with Nagorno-Karabakh. Here in Georgia, EU is one of the leading players, and I believe this is a right thing, because EU is a major player, and I am among those who believe that EU should be even more visible, also on Nagorno-Karabakh and on other. We cannot pretend that we have our agenda and the conflicts are not part of it. We cannot ignore the situation on the ground. And as I said, EU is first of all paying more than anybody else for somehow helping to solve these problems. And second, we have a positive agenda. And therefore, I am strongly in support of greater role of the European Union when it comes to dealing with issues. There is as much as we can do at given time. Of course, we would like to see more progress, particularly on the issues of these two occupied territories, but it's probably would be too optimistic to expect visible progress now, but we have to make sure that we achieve as much progress as possible as of today. And I believe that, and I hope that you appreciate the work done by the European Union, also by appointing the EU Special Representative and his activities in this region. We need dialogue, we need cooperation, and this is why European Union created the Eastern Partnership Informal Dialogues, which is a new platform for the foreign ministers and other sectoral ministers to meet and discuss any issue of mutual interest, and it's also meant to promote mutual understanding and respect and the atmosphere which is conducive to discussing even sensitive and difficult issues. What I want to say now about my country, of course, as I we have been part of this process. We know it's painful, but we know it's worth doing it. So we are supportive of your country's effort to get as close to the European Union as possible, eventually to join the European Union. We offer our assistance, but the homework is for you to make. We want to see and we need to see credible efforts and the reforms. It's all about reforms. It's all about the changing your systems, your societies. And you can get as much assistance if you want, but no one can do your homework for you if you don't do it. We have the fresh, authentic, first-hand and successful experience from these processes. And this is something you cannot buy. And this is something you cannot get in Netherlands or in France or in Germany. So therefore, I encourage my partner, Minister Van Giekiza, and I encourage you to go and ask my country and other countries in our region about the experience, because we can tell you, because we have been part of it. This is why we have established so-called Center for Transfer of Experience from Integration and Reforms. It's well-funded, and through this center, we organize visits of civil servants from partner countries to our ministries so that they can study our particular expertise on particular issues of your particular interest. You should identify where you need our expertise, and we will take care of the rest of it. We are promoting a very successful, I must say, project, which is called National Convention for European Integration, which is a nationwide and societies-wide platform for discussing European agenda, as to make sure that EU is not an agenda for elites, the agenda that is understood by 0.1% of the society. It's really important that every mayor, every local councillor, every business person understands why European integration is important. And for this, we have established this platform, which is called National Convention. It was very useful in my country. It was very successful in a number of the Western Balkan countries. And we have introduced this National Convention also in Moldova and in Ukraine, and it works well. We are ready to share this project with you as well. I want to draw your attention to the activities of the International Visegrad Fund. You know that we are part of the Visegrad 4. Which is a very successful regional integration format of Slovakia, Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary. We have also created the International Visegrad Fund, which is located in Bratislava. We are providing a number of programs for the Eastern Partnership countries. We have offered more than 600 scholarships for students from the Eastern Partnership countries. And we also have a special program for Eastern Partnership, which is budgeted by 3 million euro a year. So we can finance a number of good projects through this. So in conclusion, I want to say that your country and your region and the Eastern Partnership program is important for us. And particularly the countries who have joined the European Union relatively later understands how important it is and how important it is for the successful transition. So you can count on our support. But as I said, the homework must be done by you. We want to, let me repeat once again that the end stage of this program is what you make out of it. But in the face of my country and other countries from my region, you have very strong advocates for your ambitions and for the support of your ambitions. We are ready to share our experience with you. We want to stress once again the importance of the dialogue and regional cooperation. And again, you can learn a lot from the Visegrad 4 countries. There are no quick fixes, there are no easy solutions, but it's the process that has to be credible and that shows that you are committed. Conditionality is a basic principle, more for more, which also implies less for less. It's important to make sure that there is a wide public understanding and public support for the European agenda in your country, so miss no opportunity to talk to your public. And even the best arrangements don't serve their purpose if they are not properly implemented. So it's not only about adopting the changes and laws, but it's first and foremost about implementing them. And the areas of crucial importance for you, as you know very well, are judiciary, fight against corruption, increase in public administration capacity. So we understand that the circumstances you have to deal with have not always been easy, but I'm more than sure that the perspective you have been offered is very positive. And it definitely deserves your full commitment. And you should know, once again, that you are not alone in your effort. You have many friends, and I am pleased to say that my country is among them. So let's continue working together on achieving your goals. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alexander.